Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
A full day of football to break down? Let's talk to the pros. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. I'm on Twitter at DanHarris80. It is time to recap everything we saw in week 14 by a very happy individual for reasons we'll discuss shortly. It has to do with the 49ers-Bengals game. With me to talk about everything is my lesser companion here, Pat Fitzmaurice. Find him on Twitter at Fitz_FF Fitz. How was your football Sunday?
It was good, Dan. I mean, little did we know when we watched the Minnesota Vikings jump out to a seemingly insurmountable lead on Thursday night, only to hang on by their fingernails and have that play come down, have that game come down to the last play. Little did we know that would be a harbinger of things to come in week 14.
Really incredible, right? Like, and I will be honest, what I'm teasing Pat about is that Pat was the guest on our Betting Pros podcast this week, and we actually, for the first time, like, just took opposite sides. Pat and I agree on a lot of things. We see things very eye to eye when it comes to football. So we said, okay, we disagree on this. Let's make it our bet, and whoever wins can sort of tease the other one on this podcast. So the 49ers won. It turned out to be an incredible sweat. Crazy. The other bet, Pat, we were talking about that I had was the Ravens getting 2.5 in that game, which also was a game that I had written off midway through. I just, all right, sorry, wrong side of that, which it still was the wrong side. It ultimately turns out this was just crazy. Constant comebacks. The fact that that Bills-Bucks game went into overtime, just absolutely insane, but a fun day of football, right? I felt myself enjoying it even more as a fan, I felt like, than forget about fantasy, just as a fan, and I usually do because of all the craziness, you know?
Yeah, there were a lot of complaints about the early games until we had a couple of them get really tight at the end. And then, some more madness in the afternoon, the late afternoon slate. So it was a fun day indeed.
Yeah, that's really when it went crazy. And I will say that my wife was very much of a, like, because we have like a short amount of time, Pat, between like after the afternoon games and the kids go to bed and before this podcast where we hang out. And it was like, oh, I'm really sorry. I have to watch the end of this Bucks-Bills game, and I have to watch the end of this 49ers-Bengals game. So everybody other than my wife really loved football today, I'm sure, but I apologize to her. Anyway, I'll make it up to her separately with ice cream tomorrow, I'm sure. But in the meantime, let's get into it. Let's start off with a couple of housekeeping things. After this podcast, as I say most weeks, I'm going to be recording the kickoff podcast. Those are just my thoughts, 10 to 15 minutes every single weekday about what I'm thinking about. This will be my five biggest takeaways, or at least five things that caught my eye from Sunday. I'll do waiver wires. I'll do my rankings versus consensus. A lot of good stuff in there. Super quick, waiting for you when you wake up. Again, that's the kickoff. You can find that anywhere you download and listen to podcasts, and leave a review for the show. Helps us grow a little bit. Also, to get more advice from us, join our Discord. That's over at fantasypros.com/chat. Now, again, we've mentioned this often. It's free. Okay. FantasyPros.com/chat. Go to it. You can talk to thousands, tens of thousands, in fact, of other people, probably, you know, people who use Fantasy Pros who want to talk fantasy. There's a bunch of channels there for free. But if you want to really go the next level and you are just a Fantasy Pros subscriber, all that means is you have a subscription to the site, not for Discord. There's nothing like that. It's to the site. Then you get access to a bevy of other channels in that, including AMAs and stages, which is actually like a live chat that we do where we actually talk to you and pull you up on stage and answer questions. Again, that's for all Fantasy Pro subscribers. My DMs are open to Fantasy Pro subscribers. You can DM me anytime you want with a fantasy question. Again, that's fantasypros.com/chat.
Trust or bust.
All right, Pat, shall we start with trust or bust today?
Sure, Dan. Let's do it.
That was kind of a rhetorical question, Pat. Of course, we're starting. Okay. Let's start with Rashad Penny, Pat. This was a guy. I'm going to tell you a little bit of a funny story. Andrew, who I don't mention his name often, but is basically one of the people I report to here at Fantasy Pros, loves the word juice. Don't know why. Loves the word juice, thinks it's an underused word. When we were talking about his fantasy league and he was asking, who do you think I should start? One of the Detroit running backs or Rashad Penny, we were looking at your write-up, Pat, and you said something about Penny potentially having a little juice. And when I read that, this is not a joke, when we read that, not only did Andrew say, well, I have to start Penny now because I consider it a sign, but I moved him up 4 spots in my rankings. Not even a joke, Pat. I took it as a sign. It turned out to be a correct sign. He had a monstrous day here, a day that we were all waiting for. 16 carries, 137 yards, and 2 touchdowns. They've got the Rams next, Pat, but what do you think here? Rashad Penny, trust or bust?
Trust, because now they are going to him. And there were reports that it was going to be a split between Rashad Penny and Alex Collins today. Luckily, we did not get that split because Alex Collins does not have juice. We've seen the lack of juice for weeks and weeks and weeks now. And Penny has looked fantastic. You know, unfortunately, like, the next injury is probably just around the corner, but right. Like, enjoy this while we can, because he looks fantastic. Play the give me the Michael Scott it's happening GIF for Rashad Penny, because we've waited for how long for this to happen?
Forever.
This is like the San Diego State Rashad Penny we wanted to see. So we're getting it now. It's kind of exciting.
I really look forward to all the thank yous from the many people who probably drafted him in my advice and surely held on to him for the last 14 weeks just to enjoy this one. It's nice to see that payoff. Yeah, this was great. And again, it really is just about health at this point. And this was a year that he, you know, they didn't pick up his fifth year option. This is when we needed to see it. And man, just stay healthy. Even against the Rams, it's going to be really exciting to see. So I agree with you. So long as he is healthy, I'm going to go with trust, and make sure you include the word juice next week when you write him up in the primer.
Absolutely.
If you wouldn't, because it goes well. All right. Let's also talk about one more trust or bust. That's Mike Davis. And I feel like people are going to be like, what are you saying, Mike Davis? Let's just talk about this very quickly. 11 carries, 44 yards today, 6 targets, 5 catches, 42 yards. So that's 86 total yards in this game. Now, last week he had 69 total yards and a touchdown, and he's got 9 catches over his last 2 games. It's almost like they're using Cordarrelle Patterson more as like their traditional back. And then you've got Mike Davis, who factors in and gets more involved in the passing game. So I say, Mike Davis, trust or bust.
What are you saying, Mike Davis? I tend to be a little bit skeptical here, but it is interesting the way they've almost sort of reversed the roles here. I mean, Patterson, over his last 4 games, has 8 catches for 60 yards and no touchdowns. So, like, he's just being used purely as a runner, and Mike Davis is getting more work as a pass catcher. It's pretty weird. It makes him sort of interesting, but I mean, we're down to the playoffs now, Dan. I don't think many people are going to be put in that position where they're going to have to consider Mike Davis, but maybe for the truly, truly desperate.
I like it.
But for the most part, it's a bust for me.
For the truly desperate, go ahead and trust him. For every other person playing fantasy right now, it's a bust. I agree. But it was interesting to me when I looked, because I saw him pretty involved today. And it was really interesting to me that he was getting that much work. And I guess there are some people, desperate. He outperformed Jeff Wilson. Let's just say that, Pat. That's our guy. We'll talk about him. We'll talk about him a little later. Never again. All right. Let's get to the next segment. And you know what that is, which is I am confused by your opinion, sir.
I am confused by your opinion, sir.
We've got two guys here. Let's first, you know, Pat, rest of season ranking is a little tough right now, right? Because it doesn't really matter. Also, Jarvis Landry, who is the first person I'm going to talk about. If we did rest of season rankings, I would be questioning myself because you had him much better in your rest of season rankings than I did. But this week, I told you there was a huge difference in opinion among the analysts on Jarvis Landry. On one side was me and Joe, and we ranked Landry 22nd and 23rd at wide receiver, respectively. On the other side were you and Yates, ranking him at 34th and 32nd, respectively. Now, what's funny, Pat, is that in our rest of season rankings, you're much higher on him overall than I am. And yet this week, it feels like obviously a little bit reversed. You were fading him. 8 targets, 5 catches, 41 yards with the touchdown. I feel like this was a game, Pat. Like, I mean, you know, the secondary is so banged up for Baltimore. They really have nobody else to throw to. This was almost a game where I felt like I would have liked him more than I would rest of season. So I ask you, I'm confused by your opinion on Jarvis Landry, at least this week.
Yeah, I was probably pretty inconsistent with those, the rest of season versus this week. And I should have known that, you know, with the Browns down to one healthy tight end, you know, they have Donovan Peoples-Jones healthy, but I think what Anthony Schwartz was out.
Yes.
So yeah, a paucity of pass catching options for Baker Mayfield to throw to. But I think it was kind of an overall thing just that he has had 8 games prior to today, and he has been 26 yards or fewer in half of those games. And another game where he had 37 yards, 0 touchdown catches, although he's had a couple of touchdown runs. So yeah, I mean, if anything, I felt like I was too high on him in the rest of the season rankings, but the body work just hasn't been that great. But he did go over 100 yards the week prior, and
yeah,
you know, had another decent game today. So I'm probably gonna have to remedy that. And once again, you have found my Achilles heel, Dan.
Oh, give me a break, man. So you were right. You were right on him rest of season. I have to do this, Pat. I have to find like little things. It is not easy to find places where I could be like, oh, maybe I was more correct on that than Pat. They do not exist very often, but at least in this one, and who really knows, it wasn't like a monstrous game. It just was interesting to me because I faded. I had him probably 46th, I think, in my rest of season wide receiver rankings. This week, though, felt like a week that I wanted to be a little more aggressive with it just for all the circumstances. So I was more interested in the fact that you were pretty consistent with your rest of season rankings. It felt like this would be a particular matchup that you would want to go after. But let's go to your real big fail here, Pat, where I'm completely confused by your opinion. And that is Craig Reynolds. And I'm going to put it at like 30% of people probably don't know who Craig Reynolds is even after today. But he's apparently a running back for the Lions. 11 carries, 83 yards, 2 catches for 16 yards. You did not even rank him this week, Pat. I was all over him, ranking him 65th in my running back rankings. Most rankers did not rank him. I'm teasing you, obviously. I guess more, I mean, I'm joking, confused by your opinion. What was this and where did this come from? And should we have seen this coming or what?
No. Yeah, I was sort of out of sorts this morning and did not like notice that was going on when I got out of the Fantasy Pros Twitter takeover. Had an hour left to kick off, had to get a DFS lineup in for a running contest I'm in and a couple of bets. And I just sort of like did not check the Detroit running back situation and that he was active. So,
well, yeah. It didn't happen. It was a late game though, Pat. You wouldn't have seen it.
Oh, that's like, right. There's that's nothing right. You could it was have a, done. It was a late start. That's
I'm
right.
Teasing you, man. There's yeah, nothing you did
I totally
wrong
forgot.
Here. I referenced the anonymous Andrew, you know, before the other, we were talking and debating the Lions running backs and I kept going back and forth on it. And we did not talk about Reynolds at all in the discussion. So it just crazy to me.
I mean, Jamar Jefferson has to be in the doghouse for something, right? Like
he wasn't in the game at all. His first snap, I think, occurred in the third quarter, maybe the fourth at this point, I guess. Must be, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, didn't he have a couple of touchdowns earlier in the season? And I thought he looked pretty good in the few instances where he got the ball. And, yeah, the draft pedigree apparently means nothing. But I did find it interesting that, you know, J.J. Zacharyson on Twitter mentioned he might be the best running back named Craig of all time. And then there was some debate about whether Craig Ironhead Hayward should be considered a fullback or a tailback.
All right. So
J.J. defended by saying fullback, but, you know, I can't remember Hayward lead blocking for anyone during his career. So I don't think this Craig has quite cleared that bar yet.
Well, leave it to JJ to start a fight over something like that. But yeah, this was crazy. He looked good actually in the game. But I just don't really want to spend time talking about this. No. But I mean, it's a way for me to cover what happened in the Detroit game, Pat, without spending too much time in that game about it. So let's do that. All right, we've got to get to games. But before we do, two things. First of all, I noticed that you said GIF and not GIF, which I have gotten yelled at by everybody internally here at Fantasy Bros for saying as well, because obviously the correct pronunciation, Pat, as you noted, is GIF, as says the creator of the word. So I just wanted to officially thank you for saying that the proper way, as I do as well. Very good. Everybody knows now. Dan and Pat are in agreement. This is the right way to do things. But also, before we get to the games, I want to talk to you guys about Profit Exchange, all right? So the U.S. Betting Exchange, soon coming to New Jersey, Profit Exchange is what you need to be looking out for right now. So what it is a peer-to-peer betting exchange that gives price-sensitive users the ability to get the best odds and prices in sports betting. So, you know, with betting, you go to a sports book, whatever sports book you happen to, you know, be in your state, you're at the mercy of their lines, you're at the mercy of their VIG or the juice, as, you know, Andrew would say. Well, with Profit Exchange, you can actually set the line or price for others to bet on, or you can place a bet for an existing line or price created by someone else. And again, the juice on most other sports books, minus 110, minus 120, maybe more depending on the bet. But spreads and totals here at Profit Exchange are plus 100 odds, and money line prices will be the best across the industry. And right now, Profit Exchange is running a pre-live promotion called Exchange the Love. Profit Exchange is going to increase the go live deposit match offer by $25 for every 500 people that pre-register before their launch. So just go to profitexchange.com to register. Profit Exchange, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, not like profit like you're going to make when you go there. P-R-O-P-H-E-T, exchange.com. You must be 21 years or older and present in New Jersey. Terms apply. If you've got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, Pat, let's get into the games. Are you ready? Another rhetorical question, because no matter what I'm going, but are you ready?
Let's do it, Dan.
I love it.
Matchup recaps.
All right, let's start with the Browns 24 and the Ravens 22. So Lamar Jackson obviously injures his ankle early on in the game. So it's a sprained ankle. They're going to provide more updates, but obviously he was carted back from the sidelines to the locker room. So, you know, we'll see if it's a high ankle or whatever. And if you've heard anything about that, go ahead and you can give it while we're talking. But it is Tyler Huntley, who plays pretty well, 27 of 38 for 270 yards with the touchdown. He adds 45 yards rushing. He does lose two fumbles. But Devontae Freeman, 13 for 64, plus five catches for 8 yards. Of course, Latavius Murray steals the touchdown with his lone touch of the day from 1 yard out. Mark Andrews' monstrous game, catches all 11 of his targets for 115 yards and the touchdown. Rashad Bateman out of absolutely nowhere, 8 targets, 7 catches, 103 yards. Really nice there at the end. It is worth noting Sammy Watkins did suffer an injury, so he was out. So that opened things up for Bateman a little more. Hollywood Brown, pretty quiet. I mean, 8 targets, just 5 catches for 41 yards. Pat, I'm not sure what kind of you want to do with this game. I'm not sure what we can take away from it with the fact that Jackson was out, but whatever you want to say about it, please go ahead.
Bateman is interesting because his usage was clipped a little bit last week. He sort of was running behind Watkins and Devin Duvernay. Mm-hmm. Good to see him back in getting some like he's the guy we want to see as the complement to Marquise Brown. And that, you know, key catch for them on fourth down. They go deep down the left sideline, and Bateman with a nice over the shoulder grab. Yep. And keeping his feet and staying in bounds. Very pretty. So, yeah, big game for him, like the one we were kind of waiting for. He finally gets it. He was not in any start-sit questions this week, Dan. He had been a very popular start-sit guy for weeks, and I think people just collectively gave up on him, or the people who were starting him were knocked out because of it.
Right.
And, yeah, he was not in a single start-sit question, so, of course, he was destined to go over 100 yards, I think. But, you know, Huntley would almost be, if this is like a high ankle for Lamar and he misses time, Huntley would almost be an interesting start because he runs around a little. He had a couple crazy runs.
Yeah.
You know, the fumbling thing is an issue. But he's run for over 40 yards in the two games where he's seen significant time. And like, he's pretty good as a passer too. I mean, he completed 73% of his throws in his last year at Utah and was a 67% career passer. So he's kind of intriguing, although a matchup against Green Bay next week would not be especially appealing. So
yeah,
that's about it. I mean, we talked about Landry, a decent day for Donovan Peoples-Jones. Hooper,
I didn't even get to Cleveland, man. I'm sorry.
I'm jumping the gun. Okay. That's about it for Baltimore.
You can talk about Cleveland.
No. So, Devonta Freeman was just continuing to run in the lead, and he's just kind of this safe floor, low ceiling running back too, which at least he gives you reliably every week.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of needs that touchdown to pop. Didn't get it today, but yeah,
so obnoxious that they just like, all right, Latavius Murray, pop in from the one. Like, Freeman is perfectly capable of doing that, right? That was his only touch of the entire game. But I find myself ranking Freeman aggressively at this point. I mean, not crazy, but just always feeling very comfortable when I recommend him as a start in those, you know, Sunday morning stuff. Yeah. That because I'm very confident it's not going to completely bottom out, right? Yes. Like that. Yes. That's what I know. Which in an RB2, low end RB2, like, I'll take that any day of the week. All right, jump the gun, man. Let's get to the Browns here. Kareem Hunt does get hurt early here in this game. He was on the sideline. You know, maybe he could have come in, so hopefully it's not that serious there. But Nick Chubb, just 65 yards on 20 touches. And again, we talked about Landry. And Donovan Peoples-Jones does end up with 5 for 90. And, you know, Austin Hooper found the end zone with just 30 yards receiving. I mean, I guess the question really is, Pat, against Las Vegas, I believe, next week, would you want to start any pass catcher? I'll include Jarvis Landry in that. Would you want to start any pass catcher there against Las Vegas next week?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would want to start Landry under most circumstances, unless I was pretty stacked at wide receiver.
What about if I didn't mean to cut you off, Pat. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you were going to say, like, if Njoku is back.
Correct.
No.
First of all, if he's back and if they're back, like, what that does. But also, if he's out, you know, and if Brian is out, does that make you at all want to start? I mean, Hooper was a guy, I don't know where you ranked him this week, Pat. I can look it up, but I think I had him 11th. Like, he was a guy who I was willing to roll with this week.
Yeah, it was 11th or 12th or somewhere. He was in tight end one range. Yeah, and I think he would be a guy again because I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know that the Browns, the tight ends collectively are at like 860 yards or something and 5 touchdowns for the season, all three of them. No Browns tight end individually has been that great, but as a trio, they're fantastic. And if those tight end targets and catches are concentrated in one guy, like that's a pretty valuable property.
Yeah. You had him 10th this week, Pat. Pat, I'm ahead of the game. It only took me 14 weeks to be able to pull up our weekly rankings up with it. You had him 10th. Kudos to you. I had him 11th. Kudos to me. Yates had him 16th. He stinks. So let's all remember that. All right. I really just want to see if Yates is ever listening to this. So I'm going to drop a few insults once in a while just to see if he catches them. Okay. Let's keep going here, Pat. The really riveting game of the week, Titans 20, Jaguars nothing. This is not a particularly impressive game. We'll start with the Titans. Not a particularly impressive game from anyone. But they had the Foreman 13 for 47 with the touchdown plus 2 catches for 15 yards. They've got the Steelers next. We just saw what that looked like. How confident would you be starting Foreman in that matchup?
Very, against the steel tissue Pittsburgh run defense, which was just shredded by Dalvin Cook. I think he is the one Titans running back you can feel pretty good about starting now, because we saw Jeremy McNichols come in and sort of cut into Dontrell Hilliard's workload, his snap count. I think basically Foreman was at about, what, like close to a 50% snap rate, and then the other two were sharing the rest. So I would feel good about him going up against a run defense that's had trouble all year.
Yeah, and he left for a little bit. I mean, that's sort of the thing. Like, the snaps wound up evening out, but he got hurt in the middle of the game, missed a little bit of it, and then came back. But he's clearly the guy. Like, I know the other running backs, both Hilliard and McNichols, did factor in, but not in a way that I think matters. So I agree. Yeah. That's how I felt too. And I think I was a little too bearish on him this week. I remember when I checked my rankings later. Yeah, I just wasn't, you know, I wanted to see it first, but he did come through.
And he does look good as a pass catcher, and that is
he does.
Like, we did not see that from him at all. If you remember his career at Texas, like, they just never threw to him at all. So like, it's something he can do. That's encouraging.
Yeah. And I think Mike Clay had put it out. It was like, whatever Derrick Henry's yards per carry were and the combined running backs since Derrick Henry went down are actually averaging a higher yards per carry mark than even he was. So you run that ball in that offense. That's something where, you know, if you got a guy and he seems to be the guy, you can really do some damage there, especially for any sort of fantasy manager who is struggling at running back. So we talked about, Pat, what we like to do is we joke now about who's the guy that everybody asks us about on our start set questions. Sometimes it was Rashad Bateman. Today it was a lot of Jeff Wilson, but you also mentioned it was Jameson Crowder. But also Julio Jones, Pat. Yes. I got a ton on him, right?
Yes.
6 targets, 4 catches, 33 yards. He didn't play a full complement of snaps here, Pat, but I think a lot of that was the fact that he was basically rested in the fourth quarter when the game was locked up. So look, AJ Brown might be back. How do you feel about Julio Jones going forward at this point?
Not good. Not good. And I did recommend him to a lot of people.
So I
just felt like, you know, if he could, I did not think that if he avoided any sort of injury, he would have this sort of a dud game with the lack of pass catching options in Tennessee. And it was just sort of one of those days. Like, he didn't, he's no targets downfield. That's the thing.
Right.
You know, we're just so used to seeing that the Falcons stretch the field with Julio, and we really haven't seen that. We're seeing Julio on like little slants and, you know, quick routes. It's kind of strange. It's like we're watching a different player. So I'm not going to be too aggressive with him in next week's rankings.
I agree. And again, you know, I understand that. I mean, Tannehill threw for 191, saves his day with the rushing touchdown, but you know, they weren't pushing the ball. They didn't need to. And that is because the Jaguars were terrible and are in disarray entirely. But, you know, in a game, I know the final score was 20-0. It wasn't like it was a blowout the whole time. Like, the game wasn't out of reach the whole time. And yet James Robinson, 6 carries for 4 yards, no targets. I mean, the Texans are up next, Pat. I mean, Robinson still dominated the snaps here. Are you still going to recommend him as a start next week?
I want to hear what is said about James Robinson's usage. I'm actually not that interested in coach speak normally, but I want to hear if Urban Meyer or Daryl Bevel, the offensive coordinator, say anything about this. Man, because he is really the only guy worth trusting in that offense. And just, this offense looks so bad, Dan. I do want to thank Urban Meyer and Daryl Bevel for saving my saving me from going 0-3 on the best bets on the podcast, because I did have this game under, which felt pretty comfortable the entire way. But man, does this offense look bad, and Trevor Lawrence looks bad in it. And but there's just no creativity. It's it's a stale offense, man. I mean, yeah, I hate to bash Bevel. He's a former Wisconsin Badger quarterback.
Yeah.
So it pains me to have to, you know,
look, everybody except Urban Meyer is just terrible. Don't you know? Haven't you heard all the?
Yeah, I know. What has Daryl Bevel ever done? You know, other than
give it's Wisconsin terrible. Yeah.
His first Rose Bowl in a while. But yeah, I can't wait to have Urban walk out the door and. My goodness, they can't keep him around for another year, can they? I mean, this is just such a train wreck.
It was terrible. It was terrible. And you look at him after the game, he's does not look like a guy who wants to be there. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm sure I'll recommend James Robinson as a start, just because I can't imagine him getting so few touches next week. But we'll have to see. I will say before we keep going, Tabby is here.
Tabby Tagliere
is here checking in. Tabby, it is wonderful to see you checking us out. You are the best. You are a superstar. And I hope you enjoy me making fun of Pat, because it's 90% of what the show is necessarily. All right. So before we get on to the next game, I love many things about working at this company. But perhaps one of my favorite things is that Pristine Auction is a sponsor of our show. And when we have a sponsor, I explore them. That's what I want to make sure I do before we give an ad read. So you guys know my ad reads. When I read about our sponsors, they are heartfelt. They come from what I have experienced, because that's what I think you guys deserve as people listen to podcasts. You don't want just somebody reading a script. You want somebody to experience the company and see what it's like. I have a million Pristine Auction items at my house. My kids have a ton. I have a ton. It's awesome. You can get everything you want there. PristineAuction.com. Any sort of sports memorabilia you want, you really need to go. Over 10,000 football items up for auction right now. just go pristineauction.com. It's great. Anything you want, helmets or jerseys or anything, autographs, it's really amazing. Just check it out, pristineauction.com. Again, it's free to register. It is free to bid. You only pay if you win something. And again, because there are so many auctions every single day, you get amazing, amazing prices. Again, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Here's $5 free in credits. Use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up so they'll know we sent you. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Let's keep going here, Pat. Let's go to the Chiefs, 48, Raiders 9. Funny, a lot of really crazy games, and you're right. The early games, though, were really not that exciting here. The star of the game for the Chiefs was their defense, but kind of a weird game offensively for them. Patrick Mahomes throws for 258 and two touchdowns, and those touchdowns go to Darrell Williams and Josh Gordon, just like everybody would have expected. Clyde Edwards-Helaire rushes for just 37 yards, but he scores two touchdowns. Derek Gore rushes for 66 yards and finds the end zone. Tyreek Hill, just 4 catches, 76 yards. Travis Kelce, 3 catches for 27 yards for the second straight game. I don't know what you want to talk about here, Pat, with the Chiefs, other than my son asked me, our sons, by the way, were battling each other in the Fantasy Bros Kids League. My son asked me when he saw the box score of that, if he could drop Travis Kelce, because he's very frustrated with the 3 for 27. So in addition to talking him out of that, Pat, is there anything else what stuck out to you today from the Chiefs? Or was it just such a blowout right off the bat because of the defensive score that really can't take anything away?
Yeah, it was strange that, you know, they still were throwing throughout the game, and to get the 327-0 line from Travis Kelce 2 weeks in a row. Last week, at least he had 8 targets. Today, only 4. Yeah, you just hope it's a blip. Tyreek Hill, kind of a decent day, but not, you know, not that big a day. Darrell right. Williams, I think, almost had 2 touchdown catches because it wasn't that underhanded yes. shovel pass
yes.
to Darrell Williams. Yep. And they, you know, he got stacked up right at the goal line.
I thought he was in.
I kind of did too. And, you know, then the next play was that little quick
right.
bubble screen thing to Josh Gordon for the touchdown. But yeah, I mean, a decent day for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But, you know, I feel like Darrell Williams looks just as good as if not better. And I think yep. sometimes Derek Gore looks just as good, if not better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire first round pick, especially since it was ahead of Jonathan Taylor, still not yeah. looking that great, but he has a useful fantasy asset, at least as a running back, too.
All right, before we move on to the Raiders, can you just do me a favor and say, Will, don't drop Travis Kelce. Go ahead.
Will, don't drop Travis Kelce. You can't.
Thank you very much. He's 8. You know, he's very impetuous, so we'll have to make sure that he's okay. And I'm not allowed to give him advice, so that's one of the rules about what we do. Okay, anyway, for the Raiders, Hunter Renfrow, man. 14 targets, 13 catches, 117 yards with the touchdown. He did lose a fumble, like every single player on the Raiders lost a fumble today. 3 straight games, Pat, with at least 8 catches and at least 100 yards. I mean, can he keep this production going for the rest of the season?
That was the easiest player prop of the day, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Pat, I gave that out and our Betting Pros live stream as well. I told you, I look at your thing, and if I see anything that comes out, and I know a few people who trailed it, so kudos to you. So easy. I agree when I saw it.
The guys who have been like to ride on the overs and receptions are Chris Godwin and Hunter Renfrow. Oh, I mean, those yeah. guys are just, and you were, it was actually minus 105 to get the 6.5 over on mm-hmm. Renfrow. So like, he's good. He is really good. I had him ranked wide receiver 19 today. I might actually move him up higher than yes. that. I mean, he is an absolute must start every week. And I mean, he's just good. He's yep. very talented and just a guy completely, I don't know, outkicking his athletic
yes. ability,
his size. And like those routes he runs near the goal line where he just does like the shake one way, turn on a dime.
Oh,
and
that
just
was
go, like he just loses some of the yeah. best cornerbacks in the NFL easily on yes. those like little goal line routes. It's amazing.
Correct. I know.
Fun that to watch awesome. Him work.
It was. And I will say again, because I tease Joe and I tease Yates quite a bit, I will say, Pat, I'm looking again at there's a page that has the 4 analysts. If you ever want to see what all 4 of the Fantasy Pros analysts are doing with it, you and I both actually had him ranked 19th. Joe had him 11th and Yates had him 15th. So kudos to wow. them for being high on the Renfrow train wow. there. with stuff like that. That's the last nice thing I'll say about them. Anyway, I mean, Josh Jacobs just 9 for 24 on the ground, but 5 catches for 46 yards through the air. That's really nice. He's got that floor now through the air. Again, you know, not a good game here for the Raiders, but they were basically, the game was over 2 minutes into the game. So a little tough of the game script here. Any other takeaways for the Raiders, or you want to move on?
Foster Moreau is not good. Nope. He's just not good. I mean, he had a terrible drop today.
I think he caused an interception. Like, I think it was one of those almost Jamar Chase's, right? Yeah.
Very, like, he just had a loose hand on the ball. And that's what I was mentioning as the drop that basically turned into an interception. It was just a very sloppy catch attempt. He's just not good.
Not good. Darren Waller, come home, please. Saints 30, Jets 9. I can't believe you took the Jets. For the Saints, there were two guys that we wanted to start, and they both come through. Alvin Kamara, 27 for 120 on the ground, plus the touchdown. 5 targets, 4 catches, 25 yards through the air. I mean, I will take that with Taysom Hill right now if you're going to give me 5 targets for him. And meanwhile, Hill, 15 for 21 for 175 yards through the air. But 11 carries, 73 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the ground. A lot of that came late. One of that came when he should have fallen down and run out the clock, but he didn't because he wanted the stats, apparently, he said, which kudos to you, man. Get your stats. It feels uncomfortable, Pat, but I feel like Taysom Hill is just kind of a starter in a single quarterback league, right? Even next week against Tampa Bay.
It is gross, but there is just such a wide range of outcomes with him. And Tampa Bay is the kind of matchup I fear because Hill is just not an NFL caliber passer.
No.
It's everything is derived from the rushing, and he's going to be going up against one of the premier run defenses in the NFL and linebackers who can pursue sideline to sideline. Like, that is scary because there is such a wide range of outcomes for Hill, and he has gotten immense garbage time in these last 2 weeks. Like, he is hit, you know, getting the Deontay Harris bomb at the end of that first game, like the long catch and run touchdown, getting this long touchdown run late. Like, he does not have these great fantasy days without those two plays.
It's so true.
I mean, like, the floor is really shaky here, and people are going to be like, you know, asking us next week if they should be starting him over Matthew Stafford. Like, I was getting that today. And
just, all today, him or Matthew Stafford was the question, right?
Yeah. And I actually did have Hill, I think, ranked one spot ahead of Stafford. But so like next week, I will not have Hill ranked ahead of Stafford, I don't think. Actually, who do the Rams play next week? They play Seattle. No, I'm going to have Stafford higher.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair. Again, we did just see Josh Allen, you know, different because he can throw the ball. So it doesn't, you know, change things. But he obviously rushed for over 100.
True.
For over 100 yards. And by the way, they could have run. They didn't even attempt to run with their running backs. When they did, it was successful with the Bills against the Bucks. But I mean, I agree with you saying it's uncomfortable. Certainly against the Jets, it was easy because you and I could, you know, run if we decided to against the Jets. But next week, it's going to be interesting. I don't know, Pat, my gut to me says 13 right now for next week, but it's going to be something that, you know, I don't know, man, if you made it to the playoffs and Hill got you there the last couple of weeks, we're going to see. It's going to be a little tough, I think, to not keep going with him. No one else from the Saints, right? No one else that you think about starting. Right?
Nope. Can't play a pass catcher.
Very good.
Totally out of commission.
And again, I mentioned earlier for the Jets, we said that Jamison Crowder was the point person. And Pat, when you said that, I said, are we rooting for him or against him in terms of what our start set recommendations were? And like you, it went a little bit both ways because he was in that range where people were asking, I thought, pretty appropriate questions. This was not the crazy, do I start Rashad Bateman or Mike Evans type stuff that we were getting weeks ago. This was appropriate. And I felt like we both said, I think we probably leaned towards the sit when we were thinking about him or not. And to the extent that was, that turned out to be a good decision because 6 targets, 3 catches, 19 yards. If there was a receiver to start, it would have been Braxton Berrios, 10 targets, 6 catches, 52 yards. With no Tevin Coleman, LaMichael Perine, 7 for 28. Ty Johnson, only 6 for 17 on the ground, but he does have 4 for 40 through the air. True or false, Pat, we just should not start any Jet as long as Elijah Moore is out. You can say
If Tevin Coleman comes back,
are you starting Tevin Coleman?
It depends on what
we're in the playoffs. We're in the playoffs. Pat.
Yeah, I know. Probably not. I mean, Ty Johnson, I had high hopes for. He had 2 drops today, I think.
Yeah.
And Crowder is just, I've been accused of being a Jamison Crowder hater in the past. And I actually did tell a few people to start him, but I also
I did too.
Quite a few people to sit him. Yeah, I mean, he's just a guy, like, he doesn't score many touchdowns. He doesn't make many big plays. He's a volume player. And that's kind of a problem, I think, when you're the guy you are counting on to distribute targets to him as a rookie quarterback who's really struggling. So, and, you know, I have to ask you, Dan, being the Jets fan, like, just where are you at right now with Zach Wilson? Obviously, we have to give him a little bit of leash because he's a rookie. But it hasn't been pretty.
He's no Chad Pennington, I'll tell you that. I will say that I give so much leeway to rookie quarterbacks, right? Like, especially those who are not placed in great situations, as I think it's probably fair to say, Wilson. And today he doesn't have Elijah Moore. He doesn't have Corey Davis. And the team, he doesn't even have Tevin Coleman. I mean, the team is not good. But I admit, Pat, that today was a day where I watched him. And really, for the first time, I said, oh, boy, this is really problematic right now. What I'm seeing, like, just throws that you can't miss as an NFL quarterback. Like, you can't and you shouldn't. Like, there's no way. So I admit, Pat, that probably since the beginning of the season where I saw some reads and I saw some throws that made me optimistic on the long term, I am becoming a little bit concerned. But I will say that I will allow him to have this horrific rookie season with a terrible team and then see what happens next year. But I'm not that optimistic. Thank you for ruining my day.
Fair. Sorry about that. Yeah, there were a few Taysom Hill throws in there today.
Oh, so. God. There were a few throws that even Taysom Hill himself would have been disgusted with, I tell you that. So it was not great. All right. So before we keep going, a couple of things that we've learned, or at least one thing that we've learned over the last year, is that you can't predict the future. We don't know what the future holds necessarily. Plans can be derailed. The unthinkable happens. And that's why for me, I like to make sure that I am prepared. And that's why my family and I have Air Medcare Network. If a medical emergency arises, Air Medcare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. If you join today, you never pay a dime, not a dime, for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance does not always cover the full cost of a medical emergency. So this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with the new membership. So it basically pays for itself. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Use offer code Fantasy Pros no matter where you're at in the game of life. And Air Medcare Network membership is the protection that you should not live without. All right, Pat, let's keep going with the Cowboys 27, Washington football team 20, a game that looked like it was a complete blowout and then got pretty exciting there by the end. For the Cowboys, no Tony Pollard here. So figured it was going to be a big Zeke game, but it was not. 12 for 45 on the ground. He does see six targets, but catches just one of them for 15 yards. Corey Clement factors in pretty heavily, 13 for 44. This just seemed like the usual thing here for Zeke, Pat, where he just seems banged up in the middle of it. Like, he leaves the game. You think he's really hurt. He ultimately plays through it. And he was rested a lot here, Pat, in the second half in particular. It was like a 75-25 split in the beginning, then more like a 50-50 as it went on. But I think a lot of that was just the score, because when the game got close to the end, he came back into the game. So I feel like he would have played. But I mean, I don't know what we can do about this, Pat. I are you still going to recommend Zeke as a start every week?
Oh, man, I dropped him down to, I think, like running back 14 or 15 this week. And I just, like, even that now feels too high for him. Like, what, yeah. On one, there was one time when he walked to the bench. I mean, it was such an old man walk to the bench. Like, he's just, there's just no explosion anymore.
Yeah, you had him 13th this week, Pat. Moved him way up when Pollard was out. I moved him way up. I had him 7th. Like, this was a game where I said, okay, he's going to get it right now. He's going to go. And yeah, you're right. And, you know, one of the things I do, by the way, Pat, sorry to interrupt, but I monitor the news desk a bit. So When I see something that happens and I saw him walk back and I said, he might be hurt, everybody check in on it. And he wasn't. He just walks like that now, right? Like,
it is. It's I'm dating myself, but it's the Fred Sanford walk, basically, when he. yeah, so it's just not. And Corey Clement. Like, looked like he had more juice.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Andrew. So yeah, it's bad. And I think we're going to have to keep him in running back 2 range if Tony Pollard remains out. But if Tony Pollard comes back, boy, it's going to be hard not to rank Pollard ahead of Ezekiel Elliott. for next week if Pollard is around.
There's no way that team is better with Zeke on the field than with any of these other running backs at this moment. And so if you roster him and you start him, you just have to hope he falls into the end zone. And that's kind of a risky thing, right?
Yeah. But like Pollard with his foot injury, I mean, that's a major injury too. So like this is going to be really tricky. And, you know, Corey Clement might actually be worth a waiver claim.
Corey Clement, league winner. For the offense, I mean, Dak Prescott just 211 with two, with the touchdowns, two picks here. The touchdown goes to Amari Cooper, 5 for 51, CeeDee Lamb, 7 for 61 on 10 targets, Michael Gallup, 5 for 60 on 9 targets, Dalton Schultz, only one catch here, 4 yards on 3 targets. Three of the last 4 games here, Dallas has held to 238 yards passing or fewer, Pat. But again, I mean, I feel like you rank probably all three of the receivers and Schultz still as starters each week.
Oh, Schultz really worries me with all three Dallas receivers healthy. I mean, I think his catch was maybe their first offensive snap of the game and nothing else the rest of the way. I do rank all the other guys as top 30 receivers for sure. Like all those guys are must plays, but it could have been more for them today. Like Dak's ball placement was off. He just didn't have a good game. Like he just misfired a lot more than we're used to seeing with him. So it happens. I mean, you know, Dak's terrific. These games are few and far between, but he was off today and it kind of cost his pass catchers.
Yep. For Washington, really ugly. At the half, Taylor Heinicke had 19 passing yards. He wound up with 122 with the touchdown to Cam Sims. Great catch by Sims. But he does leave with a knee injury. Terry McLaurin had no catches in the game. He left with a concussion after trying to make an acrobatic catch. Almost came down with it with that one. So we'll have to see that. Antonio Gibson, just 10 for 36. 2 catches for 5 yards through the air. He lost a fumble. He rested when the game looked like it got out of hand. Maybe McLaurin here, Pat. I mean, you know, we talk about him a lot. We rank him as a starter. I answered start McLaurin in a bunch of start sit questions. Assuming that he's 100%, Pat, he's still really been pretty disappointing. He gets Darius Slay probably next week, then Dallas, then Slay again. I mean, is this kind of like Zeke where like we lower him, but we still continue to rank him as a starter again, assuming that he's healthy enough to play?
That's kind of it. I would have a hard time leaving him outside the top 25, I think, although he's probably going to be around that area. I mean, he's just kind of, I don't know. I feel like it's not his fault. He does draw a lot of top cover guys on that play where he tried to make the, you know, ridiculous leaping catch. He had bracket coverage from two guys. So yeah, it's just kind of difficult for him.
And again, he had the corner beaten a couple of plays before, and Heinicke just underthrew him slightly enough that he couldn't get it. So he wasn't that far away from having a nice day, but yeah, I agree. It's time to move him down. And I was pretty bullish on him coming in. Falcons 29, Panthers 21. Cordarrelle Patterson, 16 carries, 58 yards with the touchdown. Again, we talked about how he's like not involved in the passing game anymore, but he gets a great volume as a runner. So that's great. Kyle Pitts, 6 targets, 5 catches, 61 yards. Good to see. Hayden Hurst returned and did get the touchdown. Russell Gage, meanwhile, 6 targets, 4 catches, 64 yards. I don't think you're too disappointed in either guy if you started them, Pat. And we mentioned Gage last week, and I felt like where we came down on was like, you can probably just start him as like a wide receiver 3 rest of way. Is that basically how you feel now?
Yeah. And I think I had him right around like wide receiver 31 or something like that this week, I want to say. So
I'm going to check it. Go ahead. You can talk.
Okay. Yeah. So basically smack in the middle of wide receiver 3 range, I want to say.
33.
Okay. So a little lower, but
item 34. So we're right there.
Okay. Yeah. So he was okay. And you know, not a bad game for Pitts, considering that he was going up against Stephon Gilmore, I think, for a lot of the day. So, and that's kind of it. Teams are more concerned about Pitts than they are with Gage. So Gage gets typically the easier matchups.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I like it that I can feel comfortable starting him at this point. For the Panthers, Cam Newton loves the early touchdown and then getting pulled later on in the games. And he got pulled twice in this one. Although, again, you know, they said whether or not the first one was just because the 2-minute drill, I don't know. I don't want to hear anything about it. Bottom line, he throws for 178. He rushes for 47 yards, but he does score the touchdown. He may still be the quarterback against Buffalo next week. I don't think anybody cares. Chuba Hubbard, 10 carries, 33 yards, but he does find the end zone on the 17-yard touchdown run. Amir Abdullah, just 6 touches, 33 yards. Robbie Anderson, pretty big day here. 12 targets, 7 catches, 84 yards with the touchdown. DJ Moore, 10 targets, 6 catches, also 84 yards. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be next week against Buffalo, but I guess who would you feel comfortable, you think, starting in that matchup for Carolina?
Just Moore as, a wide receiver 3. And I think we'll probably get some start sit questions about him with the tough matchup. Like, he'll be a bubble guy for a lot of people. But I think I would feel pretty good about starting him. And I would almost hope that PJ Walker got a little more time than Cam Newton, maybe,
yeah,
for the benefit of Moore. I would not feel good about starting Robbie. We just have not seen enough. And the floor games for Robbie are trapdoor games.
What about Chuba Hubbard?
Yeah, I mean, he'll be in running back 3 territory.
Yeah.
I hope you have a better option than Chuba for your fantasy playoff games. But if you don't, like, he could fill in if he's the last of your starters. It's not terrible, I guess.
Yeah, you're probably not in the playoffs, to be fair, if you've got Chuba. But who knows? He did score the touchdown here. So we'll have to see. Oh, man, I forgot the final score, whatever the Seahawks Texans were. But the Seahawks a lot, Texans not as much. For the Seahawks, we talked about, I'll look it up, sorry, for the Seahawks. So you guys know
33. I can't remember what the
Texans. I'm looking it up right now, but I don't want to slow us down. Then I'll give it, because I'm an idiot and I have to prepare for this podcast at lightning quick speed. We talked already. The Seahawks beat the Texans, everybody. Chill out. It's okay. We talked already about Rashad Penny. So Russell Wilson throws for 260 and 2 touchdowns. One goes to Darrell Everett. The other goes to Tyler Lockett. 9 targets, 5 catches, 142 yards with the touchdown. Lockett's just like, he's like a league winner at this point, Pat. I mean, at least 96 yards or a touchdown in 4 straight games. DK Metcalf still not going here. 8 targets, 4 catches, 43 yards. 5 straight games now with 60 or fewer yards and no touchdowns. Now they get the Rams, I believe. Is that right? I may have written that wrong. I may be all over the place. The Rams, correct. Are you still confident in starting DK Metcalf at this point?
Oh, not confident. I mean, Lockett just has better chemistry with Russ than DK Metcalf does. I think it's pretty clear at this point. And I'm a little worried about I do like that they, after not really getting Metcalf much usage early on, came out in the second half and like immediately peppered him with like 3 or 4 targets. Like, they seem to be cognizant of the need to at least make an attempt to get Metcalf the ball. And when he's not getting the ball enough, they'll manufacture these little short touches. But those aren't the valuable targets we want, Dan. We want the downfield stuff. And just like too often on some of the, like, Metcalf is kind of a sideline route guy. And too often, like, Russ has been sailing throws out of bounds too. That hasn't helped much. So, it's just been really frustrating. But I think you got to keep rolling them out there, because, I mean, there's just so much potential there. And
I agree.
It hasn't been happening, but like, the minute you sit him is when you get the 140 yard 2 touchdown game.
I agree for sure, especially with how much he can factor in around the goal line. So it's 33-13, by the way. That's what the final score was of that game. I apologize to everybody. Terrible hosting job. For the Texans, Davis Mills throws for 331 and a touchdown to Brevin Jordan. Brandon Cooks, if you were starting Brandon Cooks, as I had to in a couple of leagues, he really came through. 11 targets, 8 catches, 101 yards. With no David Johnson, Rex Burkhead, 15 touches for 66 yards. But he leaves with a groin injury. That left Royce Freeman as the last guy standing. 17 touches, 66 yards as well. So they've got Jacksonville next. Pat, same question as usual. Who are you starting from Houston in that matchup?
Cooks, I think, is trustworthy. That's about it, because Davis Mills is not terrible. And I think I feel better about Cooks with Davis Mills than I did with Tyrod Taylor, who's like a lousy passer. And, you know, Mills does not suck as a passer. I'll say that about him. So not quite ready to start Brevin Jordan, but I'm kind of excited about the trajectory his season has taken. And, I think he's going to be a top 25, maybe even a top 20 tight end for next year. Like, one of those guys that people are going to want to take shots on late in drafts.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let's say Rex Burkhead's out and Royce Freeman is the guy against Jacksonville. Are you going to tell everybody to start Royce Freeman?
Oh, man, he's going to be a pivot player for sure. Next week, start sit sessions. I think he will be sort of on the cusp of that. It depends what your other options are. But yeah, I would imagine that he's probably going to be ranked in the mid-20s at running back, and that there's going to be some fab money spent on him this week.
I would like us to play a game this week, Pat, and for us to predict the pivot players before we go in, so I could be prepared for what I'm going to say every time that person comes up. Let's talk about the Broncos 38 and the Lions 10. Melvin Gordon returns, and he returns with a vengeance. 24 carries for 111 yards with two touchdowns. He even left briefly with a hand injury, but came back in. Javonte Williams, though, not exactly the short end of the stick here. 15 for 73 on the ground with the touchdown. He has just the one catch, but it is for 10 yards with the touchdown through the air. Pat, both you and I and pretty much everybody had a pretty big split in our rankings between Williams. Williams was basically a top 12, top 13 guy. Gordon was more like a top 24 guy. I assume that that gap is going to close as we head into next week for next week's rankings.
Yeah, that was stupid. And I shouldn't have done that because I figured I should have known that it was going to go right back to the same old, same old.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I felt pretty good starting Melvin Gordon in the Scott Fishbowl wildcard week this week, you know, and it worked out pretty well. Yeah. So I think you're starting Javonte still, no matter what, because he, you know, he's just like a machine, and now he's scoring touchdowns pretty consistently. And by the way, pretty cool when he put the ball down on Demaryius Thomas's number 88 after that score.
We never talked about that, man. Like, I mean, it's a fantasy podcast, but
I know, man. God. DT was just that run he had from 2012 to about 2016, like five just glorious years for him. And it was like, if you had him on your fantasy team, it was always like a really good feeling, because like he was just money in the bank. Like, he did not have many dud games during that 5-year run, you know?
Yeah, he was awesome. By the way, Pat, I was not in any way calling you out for like the ranking of Williams and Melvin Gordon. That's exactly where I had him. That's where pretty much the consensus had him. That's just what it is. But, and again, part of it was, I mean, you know, Gordon was also questionable coming in a little bit. He was banged up. So, or, I mean, it wasn't like we felt 100% on him. But now next week, I agree, going back to basically a, you know, putting them right next to each other, like I always do, within three spots, and then seeing which way it comes.
And we've talked about this, Dan, but like, people see Melvin Gordon as this impediment.
Yes.
He is freaking good.
Yes.
He's good. He is a very good NFL running back, and like always has been. Well, maybe not his rookie year, but he's been pretty terrific ever since then.
Earlier this year, Pat, I remember, like, I'm not that vocal about it, just because I, you know, I don't really care about it. But Melvin Gordon earlier this year, when people were calling for him to sort of step aside, was a higher graded running back on PFF than Javonte Williams was earlier in the year, when people were like, like that. I mean, Williams is incredible, but Melvin Gordon's still a very productive back when he's in there.
Get the dude in Miami next year. That's where I want to see him go.
Okay. I really look forward to us having him in Miami, and then like randomly, like Savon Ahmed getting like 12 touches in a game, and West being like, what is happening right now? Okay. So Bridgewater throws for just 179 with two touchdowns. One goes to Williams, a late one to Albert. Oh, but again, the receivers, Pat. I mean, Jerry Jeudy's a guy who we're like, oh, we still start. I guess this is an okay game for him. 5 for 47. Tim Patrick and Cortland. Forget about Cortland Sutton. Cortland Sutton can be dropped. If you still roster him and you're in your playoffs, forget it. There's no reason to. But Pat, I mean, you ranked Jeudy 23rd this week. Do you think you're going to be ranking him around them again going forward?
No, that was, I like the individual matchup for him, and it just didn't really pay off. You know, yeah. No, I won't be having, I don't think, any Denver wide receiver in the top 30 next week.
Very good. We talked already about Craig Reynolds, of course, and he was really the main guy in this game. But no TJ Hockenson here. There is production for the wide receivers. I mean, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 12 targets, 8 catches, 73 yards. You'll certainly take that for where you were playing him. Josh Reynolds, 5 targets, 3 catches, 52 yards. You can live with it. Khalif Raymond, 5 targets, 4 catches, 31 yards, and the touchdown. You can live with that. Do you want to think about starting any Lions wide receiver going forward? And let's assume TJ Hockenson is back.
Maybe St. Brown if Hockenson is back. I don't think I want to start Reynolds if Hock is back. But if Hock continues to be out with this hand issue, I'm interested in starting both guys. And I think St. Brown almost becomes a must start because he's getting a lot of targets, a lot of targets.
Yeah, he was lining up all over the place too, which was great. They go up against Arizona next week. Pretty tough on wide receivers, or at least the top wide receiver or anything. But I agree with the way they line him up. He is intriguing, and I enjoy it because I'm a big fan of his. So it's good to see him getting some run here. Chargers 37, Giants 21. Austin Eckler 12 for 67 on the ground with the touchdown. Man, he gets a rushing touchdown every single time. And I always think back to the prop that I bet the under. That was the worst bet ever that I recommended. I apologize. Only 2 for 17 through the air. He does leave with the ankle injury, but it does not look serious from what I saw. And they were way ahead throughout the game. So my guess is it's probably nothing. And please, 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 fantasy gods, do not take away Austin Eckler from us as we go into the fantasy playoffs. We have all been through enough. Justin Jackson and Joshua Kelly split. I would say, Pat, if Austin Eckler had to miss, what do you any concept of what you would do here with that backfield?
No, I would not start anyone because I think they're all just not good. Like, I'm convinced that Joshua Kelly is just not a good running back. Like, mm-hmm. He just doesn't see things, doesn't break tackles, doesn't have any burst. Justin Jackson has had like some flashes in the past. I guess if like we had some indication that he was going to be the clear lead guy, maybe I'd be interested in him, but I don't think we're going to get that indication from the Chargers. And as you said, it didn't seem serious. Like, they were kind of like taping him up on the sideline. Like, maybe he was going to go back.
More tape than any normal human being has ever used to tape up anything. But yes.
Right. They were giving him the big club foot. But so I don't think I'd want to use a Charger back or bid on one with Fab this week if Eckler is ruled out for week 15.
I agree with you. That's how I feel as well. Justin Herbert was great in this one. 275 with three touchdowns. One to Jalen Guyton, who had three catches for 87 yards. One to Josh Palmer, who had five catches for 66 yards. One to Jared Cook, who did very little other than that, 2 for 8. Mike Williams catches all six of his targets for 61 yards. Again, no Keenan Allen. So you expect Allen, obviously, to be back next week. But if he isn't, what are your takeaways here from the receiving game?
Disappointing for Mike Williams. Yep. I think a lot of people thought it was going to be a big performance by him, but just Herbert is, he throws to the open guy. And, you know, Guyton is kind of interesting because he is a vertical target. And, you know, as we sort of thought Mike Williams might be in this. So Guyton is kind of a big play guy for them if Keenan Allen is out. But yeah, just so impressive by Herbert, man. I mean, he is so good. There was one play where,
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and just like the little things, there was one play where it was, I'm trying to think of the Giants linebacker. Tay Crowder comes through on a blitz, just completely unblocked, and is just making a dead run at Herbert. And Herbert just calmly spins out of it and, you know, turns it into like a 7 or 8 yard run. Just like great arm. He's mobile. He's smart. I mean, like, I thought there might be some sort of sophomore slump this year, getting his second different offensive coordinator, second different system. Not at all. I mean, he's just fantastic. He's going to be
amazing. But there was time, Pat. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. But there was a time where you and I were talking about it, where he was very inconsistent for, you know, a lot of the season. You and I were talking about the fact that it looked like he was sort of struggling. But now he seems to have gotten it. Like, now he seems to have cracked the code. And watching him today was the most impressed I think I have been with him all season. Like, he looked phenomenal today.
Masterful.
Phenomenal. Yeah, absolutely perfect. It is worth noting again that the Chargers do actually have a Thursday game this coming week. So obviously monitor that for Eckler. But again, if he's out, I don't want to waste my time with that backfield anyway. But hopefully for those who roster Eckler, he's going to be good to go. For the Giants, really good to see Saquon Barkley come through here from a fantasy perspective. Not like this overly impressive game or anything, but 16 for 64 on the ground, three catches, 31 yards with that touchdown through the air. 0 to 10, Pat, what's just your level of confidence in him generally going forward? I'm sure you'll start him every time out, but like your level of confidence when you recommend him as a start in most leagues.
Yeah, about a 6. I can't go any higher than that just because I don't have any faith in this offense and because the touchdown potential is kind of, you know, clipped by just how bad this offense is.
Yeah. Mike Glennon was the starter here. And again, he throws for 2, one to Saquon, one to Elijah Penny, and runs for 1 somehow. Mike Glennon, fantasy superstar. Your leading receiver was Kyle Rudolph with 66 yards, Pat. Sterling Shepard, 27 yards. That included like a 24 yard catch at the very end of the game to get there. Kenny Galladay, 8 targets. Okay. 2 catches, 15 yards. I know it's Mike Glennon. I know it's the Chargers, but any reason to roster any Giants wide receiver at this point in the season?
No. And if Kadarius Toney was healthy, maybe, but
we're in the playoffs now, man. Yeah, like yeah. I can't, I love Toney. I love him. Like, I think that he could have been, we talked about it, right? You were the one who brought up the Odell Beckham, looked like the Odell Beckham when he came, right? The guy who missed the beginning, then exploded, then yep. could be a league winner. So I get it. But I think at this point, Pat, like where we are in the league entering week 15, I don't think so.
Agreed.
We just move on.
Agreed.
Very good. All right, let's get to the game that I had pegged brilliantly and you were just completely off on. Was the 49ers 26 and the Bengals 23. Again, we talked about Jeff Wilson, 13 for 56. That's a good yards per carry average. He just wasn't getting the work. And I kept being like, just give him the ball a little bit more. Give him the ball. But if Elijah Mitchell is out next week, and again, it's possible. Dr. David Chow did say, you know, when you get the concussion symptoms, and he's got the knee thing as well, when you get the concussion symptoms a day after you sort of feel fine, that generally lingers a little bit. So assuming that Elijah Mitchell is out, how would you feel about starting Jeff Wilson next week against the Falcons?
Not that great, because Deebo Samuel has basically become a running back now. He is more running back than wide receiver. Yep. And plus, these guys aren't in the passing game at all. They just have almost no involvement as pass catchers. So, you know, that makes the floor very shaky for both of these guys. So not real interested in Wilson next week. Like, he's probably not going to be in the top 25, even if we don't get Mitchell. Like, they don't seem to have the same trust in Wilson that they have in Mitchell. Like, they look at the workloads.
Yeah.
And Mitchell gets the ball like 20 to almost 30 times the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, Wilson got what, 15 carries today? And
13
in a game that they pretty much led throughout.
Yeah.
So,
and the thing was, like, he was running fairly well, which is why I was like, just give him the ball, but they don't want. And again, you're right though. That is part of the point, is that Deebo is basically a running. He has one catch again. Is that three straight games or whatever with one catch at this point? He's not even targeted in the passing game. He runs. Now I assume, Pat, that, you know, at one point Deebo was like a top five wide receiver for me because I just was like, oh my God. But at this point, like, he's just a running back and he gets it done because he finds the end zone every week and everything like that. But how do you feel about Deebo given his complete lack of involvement in the passing game now?
Not great. Can we hit the rewind button for both Deebo and Cordarrelle Patterson? I want the old usage where they were both like involved as runners and pass catchers. Like, this one-dimensional running game usage is, it's kind of the pits, and it's going to have me ranking Deebo like out of wide receiver one range next week.
Yeah, I think. I agree. Who's your number one?
He's a starter, of course, but
yes, but it does lower his ceiling for sure, because he just it's a complete lack of involvement in the passing game. It's crazy. He still produces again because he's so involved as a runner. But man, it is surprising. Pat, who is your number one tight end rest of season? Travis Kelce or George Kittle or Mark Andrews, if you want, but Travis Kelce or George Kittle or Mark Andrews.
I think it's going to be Kittle.
Correct.
He is just a machine, and now, you know, we're not worried. Now that he does it again with Deebo Samuel back in the lineup, there's just no question. And he's just a healthy Kittle. It's just such an incredible beast, man. He's just so nasty with the ball in his hands. And it was fun to watch today.
Yeah. And real quick on Ayuk, who does score the touchdown in overtime to win the game. But, you know, before that, Pat, it wasn't a great game for him. I mean, it winds up with 11 targets, 6 catches, 62 yards with that touchdown. But without that touchdown, like, it's a pretty disappointing day. How do you feel about Ayuk now that, you know, Deebo is basically not involved at all in the passing game?
I actually feel pretty good about the usage. I want to start him every week now that because of this shifting Deebo role. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, Kittle is soaking up a lot of targets, but there is enough left for Ayuk now. You know, wasn't really happening for him until that touchdown, and it was a great touchdown, by the way.
Yes.
I mean, not.
Although I'll be honest, I was like, no, you're out. You're out at the half inch line. You're out at the half inch line. Please give it to Jeff Wilson. But yes, yeah.
So many moments in that game. I'd like to for Kittle. One of those touchdowns, courtesy of Bengals safety Von Bell, who, after an incompletion on third down, Von Bell decides to pick up the incompletion, start running with it, and decides to point at a 49ers offensive lineman, drawing the automatic taunting penalty flag. Yeah. Very next play, I think, was the Kittle, a Kittle touchdown. So,
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of things in that game, a lot of moments I'd like to forget, Dan, but yes, your Wile E. Coyote super genius business cards are on the way.
So smart. I can't wait to do it. And yes, I will keep our messages about Von Bell when that happened private for your own safety, for sure. With that, for the Bengals, disappointing game for Joe Mixon, 18 for 58, plus two catches for 10 yards, you know, ends his touchdown streak. But everybody else is good. Like, we're happy with everybody else. I mean, Burrow, I was worried about the finger injury. That was one of the things. Throws for 348 with two touchdowns. Both go to Ja'Marr Chase, who still dropped a couple balls here, but eight targets, five catches, 77 yards, and two touchdowns. T. Higgins, another 100-yard game here. Great to see. Seven targets, five catches, 114 yards. Tyler Boyd, even, you know, four for 55 if you're in a deeper league, get to buy. I don't know, man. What do you want to say? Anything here about the Bengals?
Not really much to say here. I think it's pretty cut and dry that you're starting Chase, Mixon, Higgins every week. Chase is such an adventure. That guy is just, oh my God, what a crazy ride it is with that guy every week. Because, yeah, like, bad drops are going to be part of the profile, I think, probably for a while. Although we saw that early in Davante Adams' career, and I guess he stopped dropping passes after a while. Maybe Chase will too, but who cares when he makes this many big plays? I mean, it's just insane.
Well, I was going to say, like, I was going to use Deontay Johnson as an example, but he did have a pretty egregious drop in this most recent game. But last year, it was all about drops. And this year, he's pretty much, you know, cut them down. So they can't cut down. But either way, like, who cares? Like, we'll take the production because he's incredible to watch. And I did recommend the over on his prop, receiving prop, which was like 61 yards or something. So yay, props. Bucks 33, Bills 27. Good day for everyone here on the Bucks. Brady throws for 363 and two touchdowns. He also has the QB sneak, of course, to get one in there. One touchdown was the game winner to Breshad Perriman in overtime. One was to Mike Evans, six targets, six catches, 91 yards. Chris Godwin, as you mentioned, the over on the receiving prop. Number of catches is very easy. 15 targets, 10 catches, 105 yards. Gronk, nine targets, five catches, 62 yards. Leonard Fournette, 19 carries, 113 yards. With the touchdown, his customary seven targets, four catches, 19 yards. This one, Pat, I really don't know what there is to say about because you just start every buck and you reap the rewards. I mean, what else do you want to say about them?
It's great that Antonio Brown is suspended unless you are an investor in Antonio Brown because everyone eats with Antonio Brown out. It's start Evans, start Godwin, start Gronk, and they all pay off. And Fournette, of course, too. Yeah, so it's just a gold mine in that offense when Antonio Brown is out because, like, no one gets left out of the party.
I mean,
everyone goes home with a doggy bag, Dan.
The best part is it's not like, okay, you can start everybody in here. It's like, oh, you're all, like, Gronk's a top fiver. Both wide receivers are top 10, you know, pretty much. Brady's a top five. Fournette's a top five. It's just, it's glorious. I love it. For the Bills, again, they do the dumb thing where they don't even try to run the ball. They never run the ball. Zach Moss was inactive here. I don't know what they're doing ever. Josh Allen, nice fantasy day, 308 yards passing, two touchdowns. He runs for 109 yards and a touchdown. He was a little gimpy at the end of the game. I saw a report that he was in a walking boot after the game. I doubt he misses time, but it is worth monitoring. Stephon Diggs, 13 targets, seven catches, 74 yards. Cole Beasley, again, this was a prop. I thought Cole Beasley, I didn't rank him crazy because I didn't know the yardage, but I knew that his prop was four and a half catches. So I knew the over was a pretty easy bet there just because I thought he would try to exploit the zone. 11 targets, nine catches, 64 yards. Dawson Knox, seven catches, 60 yards. Gabriel Davis, five catches, 43 yards with a touchdown. Emmanuel Sanders did get injured in this game and he left. So that opened things up. And again, Devin Singletary, only four carries, but 52 yards on the ground, seven targets, six catches, 37 yards through the air. I don't know, man. It was a weird game for the Bills here. Anything you want to say about him?
No. Yeah, Beasley, the designated zone beater. It was kind of a good situation for him. Manny Sanders. The under on his prop was pretty easy at 42. I mean, for the Bills,
I did see you had that. That's right.
For the Bills to have that many, you know, passing yard and a game where the script set up for that.
Yeah.
Like Gabriel Davis was just more involved than Manny was. So Manny is just pretty much turned to dust in this offense.
Yeah.
I think you can drop him. If you want to, you know, pick up a double handcuff, you know, get your third stringer behind your first string.
Oh,
running
you need
back.
It. So, all the handcuffs, man. All of them.
Yes. In the COVID era, get those cuffs. Not really much else. Dawson Knox got off to kind of a slow start and then was heavily involved during the comeback. So
yeah,
that was good to see. I just don't know if I want to trust any of these Bills running backs. Well, Singletary would be the only possible starter.
Because next week it's going to be Moss is going to be active and he's going to dominate the touches, right?
Yeah, like, it's just
forget
weird.
About it. It's bad. Yeah. Again, I did mention to Pat earlier on, Sanders did get hurt in the game, but he was not involved even before he got hurt anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, that's it. Diggs continues to kind of be a little underwhelming just in terms of the yardage and everything like that. And when they play a team that runs his own scheme, start Cole Beasley. And other than that, kind of, you know, whatever with Knox. But Pat, that's it. We did it. We got through the show. I only teased you once or twice about the Bengals and the 49ers, which I was sitting there sweating nonstop with that game I was watching with my wife. She's like, why are you so invested in this? I'm like, because it determines how the podcast is going to go. But anyway, it was great having you on the Betting Pro Show as well, of course. But thank you for joining me here today. As always, Pat, you do a great job. Thanks also to Prophet Exchange. Go to ProfitExchange.com. P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Get the best odds anywhere. Thanks also to Pristine Auction. Go to PristineAuction.com. See for yourself. Thousands of auctions every single day. Great prices. P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E. auction.com. Finally, thanks to AirMedCare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros. Use offer code fantasypros no matter where you're at in the game of life. And AirMedCare Network membership is the protection that you should not live without. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. Don't forget to listen to the kickoff where I will be giving my thoughts on everything that happened today. And make sure you tune into our waiver wire show on Monday where we'll break down anything you need to do to supplement your team to survive here in the first round of your playoffs. We will talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.